Somebody emailed me today and said, who's in charge of the F3 podcast? I was a little surprised by that.
Really?
Actually, there's two things. Number one, you wasn't necessarily talking about 43.
Oh, okay.
What he was looking to do is he had a guest he wants us to have on, and I said that's not the 43 format.
No.
That's really more of a roundtable issue.
Yeah, depending on what the topic is, sure.
The topic is a...
He wants to sell Amway.
No, it's a F3 related thing called Run Ranger Run.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the Derby.
The Derby Challenge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you got it. Yeah, yeah. Derby Challenge. Right.
Oh, that'd
so,
be a perfect C-SPAN.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Yeah. So, but I had to explain to this guy who I know very well, is F3 guy, you know, 43 didn't have guests. I said, didn't you ever notice that? And he said, I haven't listened to it. I said, wow. Really?
I really think you ought to have this this topic. He's, I've never listened to it.
No, but he said, I hear enough of you that I don't need 43 more extra minutes.
You know something? I get a lot of that down where I'm from, too.
Yeah. Way down there.
Way down in McDougal.
Yeah. Somebody supposedly, you know, there was Shoddy from Cleveland who was in today.
Yeah.
And he thought you were going to be at the workout.
At Prometheus.
And I had the queue. And
that's why I wasn't
So we got to the end. It was 27 guys. It was good.
That's a lot of guys.
We had good workout. We get to the end. We ran 4.7.
See, that's why I didn't.
Yeah. Know. Anyway, we get to the end, and I was like, "Where's Dark Hellman?" I said, "Well, he lives in Fort Mill, which is the other side of the world." I mean,
yeah, it pretty much is. I mean, and truthfully,
it would have been really hard for you to come on Prometheus.
There's this part of me that, whether I like it or don't like it, I'm a little bit programmed. I mean, you know how it kind of is.
Yeah.
Where do you usually go
on Wednesdays?
I support the Wegenator.
Is that the Well, what workout is that? I can't remember.
It's the Coop. It's called the Coop.
The Coop, okay.
And it was Q versus Q again today. And I had specific Wegman's assignments.
Oh, so, but you weren't in the queue because you've already been.
I've already got my door
blown
off.
You were round one.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're round one.
This week was Maximus and Ginsu.
Okay.
And those are two very fit guys that were desperate to outdo each
other. Did they use props like you tried to do?
No, they were sensible.
The Wegenator is one of the last people to leave Binghamton, New York for Charlotte. I don't think there's anyone there now.
Probably not.
You know, it's...
Well, not that's leaving. Anybody who's there is dying there.
Yeah, there's people that can't leave. And as a Wegenator, as they saw Wegenator's car leaving town, they said...
they reached...
I said, if he's gone...
There's no hope for Binghamton.
There's no hope for Binghamton. I'm not just only half kidding because there's a lot of people from Binghamton who live in Charlotte.
Are there really?
Yeah.
I mean,
they should have
guys,
some sort of club or reunion, but they don't want to see each other. They're ashamed.
They can't admit it to one another.
No, they just kind of give a secret Binghamton greeting. Yeah, like
there's
eyebrows.
There's an eye.
Something like that.
Like, is that a third base coach waving me in? No, that's another Binghamton brother showing me the hand signal. Yeah.
Well, you know, we've wasted a little time here, but I just want to get quickly to the self-effacing parenthetical for today.
By all means.
You recently revealed to me that you had taken your first ride on a motorized scooter.
I have.
And that it was thrilling for you.
I enjoyed it a great deal. I didn't expect to enjoy it, but I did.
I'm a little surprised.
Deal. Yeah, well, why is that?
It seems like...
here it comes.
No, it's not into it. It just seems like it'd be something that would be a little more up your millennial alley.
So you're surprised that this was the first time?
Yeah, that this was the first time. I've done it myself. I've beat you to that.
Yeah, I am surprised by that.
And because I'm the last guy on earth to jump on one of those millennial.
Right. I thought the same thing.
Death scooters.
I thought that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
But
I'll
it's
ever do
fun.
It is a little fun.
But I have noticed a little pushback in the internets against the millennial death scooter for safety reasons. And I think in particular, not in Charlotte. Although in Charlotte, when they first got here, there was some
unhappiness.
But only about the way they did it. But since then, it's been embraced. But I've noticed that in some cities, there's significant safety concerns being raised.
I'm actually pretty surprised that in Charlotte, we have not seen someone's pumpkin get knocked around. Because these guys ride them in the middle of the road.
Middle of the road.
They own it.
Yeah, middle of the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised no one's been seriously injured.
And that's the concern in some other places. But that's your self-effacing parenthetical for this week. And let's go ahead and play the intro.
You want to play the intro now?
Yeah, go. And we're back. Back.
You're listening to 43 Feet,
a podcast about leadership. We believe that real leading happens out front, but that means you're probably building the next 43 feet of good road for those behind you while you're running the race yourself. My name is Frank Schwartz, known in the gloom of the early morning as Dark Helmet to my F3 brothers, and I'm joined each week by Dave Redding, or Dredd, one of the co-founders of F3 Nation. We're going to answer your questions, pontificate wildly, teach leadership, and otherwise attempt to help you navigate the next 43 feet.
We are now prepared to...
I don't know if that'll ever get old. Probably not. Yeah. Not for me.
We're now prepared to pontificate wildly.
Indeed.
Which brings
before we pontificate,
yeah.
I wanted to... we've got another hurricane coming, and I thought we might use our time that we're kind of dedicating to the thoughts and prayers to throw a thought and just know that we are prepared again.
Well, I'll go one past you.
Go.
Not just a thought, but also a prayer, since it is called the...
TAP. Please.
Yeah. So I actually hadn't been paying a lick of attention. I've been really busy at work.
Yeah.
Some guys in the workout this morning were talking about Hurricane Michael coming through.
It looks bad.
And I guess it's made landfall down in...
Florida area.
On the Florida Panhandle.
Yeah.
Where we have one workout in Tallahassee.
Mm.
But I don't think it hit Tallahassee, did it? Or is...
I don't know where it hit.
Okay.
I just know that
This way cometh...
Yeah,
and
we got the Suncoast guys and the Orlando guys and
right.
You know, so there's a number of guys, the Tampa guys and the Tallahassee guys. So I'm assuming they're all affected in some way.
Yeah, right, right. But if it gets its way back up here,
which is predicted to do,
and puts another,
a hammer in on the
another hammer, man,
yeah,
Cantori hammer,
the Cantori hammer
on the folks in Carpex and Cape Fear, I guess took it. The hardest and
that area of the state
and New Bern
that
area of the state. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone out there in the Southeast who may be affected by this, but in particular those folks that have just come out of previous hurricane.
Some of those folks are still underwater, like they really haven't gotten all the literally, water in the muck
literally
out.
And figuratively.
That is my understanding. Yeah.
So yeah. I know that we have a it's funny, we have this newly christened queue of disaster relief, right?
Yes. Which, thank goodness, that guy's killing it.
He's killing it.
Yeah. That's Borland.
Borland, who's out of the eastern part of the state.
He bubbled himself to the surface.
Borland, and, last week we spoke about the RFI, the reverse flow incubator, and Borland is...
a direct product.
He just jumped on his own and just started making it happen. Before I know, he had already collected a lot of money and...
Yep.
All we really do is kind of wire them into the system. But, I think we talked about this last week, too, is we didn't foresee disaster relief being our brief, but it's a natural thing.
Makes sense.
Makes sense. So,
yeah.
Anybody who's got it on their heart to help out, get with Dark Helmet, and he can direct you towards Borland.
Yep.
Who is probably going to start tweeting, I would think, pretty soon.
I haven't seen it. But, at Dark Helmet F3. On the Twitter box, hit me up, and I'll get you squared away. So, without sounding too dramatic, we especially here at 43, Dredd, myself, and the entire entirety
staff
of the
and crew,
yes,
the gaffer, the best
right,
boy,
right, the key grip, all those guys.
Not the grip, that guy's a jackass. Well,
but the key
the
grip,
guys.
The key grip's okay. Yeah, he's a decent dude. Sincerely, we really are behind you. And send all of the thoughts and prayers and good energy we can.
All right, man. Now the regional tea clap. Who do you got on there?
So it was some of the things that are happening. I try to see what the nation's tweeting and what he's retweeting.
Sure.
And,
you've got your sweaty fingers on the pulse of F3 Nation.
My sausage like Starbucky.
your clammy Starbucky digits.
My velvety phalanges. Just, right on the pulse. Hey, I thought we'd give a quick shout out to coming up in a couple of weeks on the 27th, St. Louis.
Oh, F3
Billiken. One year.
What I like to call F3 Billiken.
Billiken. What? Tell me what that is.
Not a clue.
Okay.
But that's the University of St. Louis's mascot.
Oh, there we go. So whatever.
But what a Billiken actually is?
Yeah.
Probably some blighted. Midwestern bird.
Bird, yeah, it's got to be a bird.
But the funny thing about the Billikens that I came into contact, because a couple of them posted, three of them posted to Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
is if you say, "Hey, Billiken, what's up with this?" They'll tell you, "I didn't, you know, I went to the University of Missouri or something."
Right.
And I'm like, "What's that got to do with me?"
I know. Man? You're a Billiken. You're still a Billiken.
St. Louis. You're a Billiken.
You live under the arch, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, Billiken.
And I, you know, as it to straighten that out, I said, "If you're from North Carolina, you're a Tar Heel."
Right.
No, that makes you,
yeah.
You know,
whether you follow them or not.
Right. I didn't go to University of North Carolina, but I consider myself a Tar Heel. Just like you're a Gamecock, right. Frank.
Presumably.
Yeah. Presumably. I guess. Well, I'm going to do this unilaterally.
Yeah.
If you're from South Carolina, you're a Clemson Tiger. I'm just kidding. Oh. I mean, you could just feel the hate. Actually, for those of you in the podcast
please
listening
don't burn
audience,
our cars.
You should have seen Dark Helmet's face when I said that. I mean, he... it was something. What's yeah, so song? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know what you are in South Carolina.
I wouldn't even pretend.
I'm a citizen and resident in North Carolina, so I still feel comfortable saying that... it's a Tar Heel state.
It's a Tar Heel state.
But South Carolina is not the Gamecock state.
No, it's not.
So there's no real equivalence there.
That's right.
Nor is Missouri the Billiken state. But by God,
But that's what they are.
I'm happy to tar you with that feather if it bugs you. Why not?
Out of love.
No.
No, no, we hate Billiken.
Well, no, it's to stir the pot.
Right. Yeah, just a little poke in the eye.
Right.
A little poke in the eye. Going.
And those Billikens that showed up, remember stalwarts, all three of them?
Yeah, all night.
Under the log? All night, yeah.
No problem.
Unlocked, no problem. Spent a bunch of time with them because we were all staying in the same bunkhouse in Memphis, and it was some pretty good stuff. So
that's awesome.
Shout out to the Billikens.
1 year.
Regional Tea Clap goes to the Billikens.
Yeah.
And nobody else?
Well, there's another anniversary that was just celebrated recently that I thought might be worth mentioning. That is the NOLA.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the New Orleans guys.
4 years?
Four
years for NOLA. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you call the Nolans?
I was just thinking. I was trying to remember what.
I mean, what are they, like gumbos, crawfish?
Well,
what are they?
University of New Orleans. There is such a thing, right?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I couldn't tell you their mascot.
No idea.
But
just like that. What's that part of the state in South Carolina you call the screen door? Right.
No, Columbia is the screen door to hell.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So you call those guys screen. So there's got to be something for
them. Oh, yeah. What would we do with NOLA? Low grounders?
It could be. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll come up with something.
What other universities are there? I mean, LSU's in Baton Rouge is not that close.
Right. It's not that close. Yeah. In New Orleans? No idea.
There's, it's on the tip of my tongue. There's a private school. But anyway, shout out to y'all and NOLA.
Yeah,
we love what you try to do down there, and keep doing it. We've done a grow ruck down there with you guys, mm-hmm. and had a good time walking along the bayou, carrying a very biggish log. Yeah, it was good stuff. All right, takes us to the mixed eggs.
Yeah, so I wanted to report back. I did a bunch of Googling.
Thank you.
I did a bunch of Googling on this whole deal with the hand
sign. The kerfluffle with the hand sign.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
hand sign kerfluffle.
Yeah, and I believe that I have kerfuffed or whatever it is as much as a guy can. So, and I don't know if we take official stands because hey man, free delete,
right.
You want a hand sign? That's you. But I will tell you, while the white supremacist community has not said officially, hey, this is our official hand sign.
Right.
It's a thing.
It is a thing.
It's a thing.
Wow.
Yeah. They're more of the A-OK with the three fingers.
Oh, so not just
so
like
it's,
us.
Not exactly the same. It's certainly not when you erase the emotional whiteboard.
Right. That's not that.
Not related to that in any way. Yeah, it doesn't look like that. But the guys that are making the thing, when you make the circle and the three fingers out, that's
so
a
what
thing.
Do you think we should do about that? I mean,
well, we're not here to governance.
So if this, and it sounds like this, there is some credence to that.
Yeah.
Our choices are to abandon it, to take it over.
See, right? That's my...
And say, no, it's not that. But then you just open yourself up to confusion and accusations. So I'm going to make a command decision. Actually, it's not really a decision at all because I don't have any power. It's a command recommendation, right?
Yeah.
Nantan's recommendation.
Yeah.
Don't do it anymore.
I wouldn't. Yeah. No, I didn't do it in the first place. But
you know, don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Because
the last thing
we're an impactful group of men, and because we are, we're going to have some folks love what we do and have some folks hate what we do. And if they can use take something out of context and use it to discredit us, they will.
Yeah.
So the easier course of action is to simply say, we don't do that. So I will continue to erase the emotional whiteboard.
Well, that's different.
Yes. I will also continue the trend that Dark Helmet started with the F3 handshake.
Nope.
But I will no longer personally use the
I'm going to start a
hand
fake
sign, which I never did much of anyway.
No. I mean, and it's certainly common in certain regions, but not as common in others anyway.
Right.
But, you know, again, we're not here to tell you what to do, but boy, I tell you, if I thought for a second, it's kind of like what you talked about a couple weeks ago when you talked about swearing.
Yeah, you know, right.
It's not that I love swearing or that I have a particular feeling about it one way or the other. But if you're doing something that then impacts your ability to have influence on another man,
right,
then maybe you discard that.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So that is a more or less settled.
That's a report on last week's mixed egg. Do you have a new mixed egg for this week?
So it's a very related mixed egg. And I only caught wind of it recently. Actually, I think it was just this morning. Apparently, there's some controversy now about red pills. And there's some society, very misogynistic society, that's a very male, you know, men first, men's rights, associated with kind of alt-rightness, that calls themselves a red pill society.
Why?
Because there was some classic literature thing about, and I didn't get into the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's really a mixed egg as much as it is.
You're asking the question.
I'm asking the question.
This is not Cake Boss. Cake Boss did not email
you
this question.
He took his
Cake Boss or somebody did not.
Or anyone.
Okay.
Yeah, did not write in on this one. But I saw it this morning, and since it was related to the other the other hand sign, so he said, you know, we really ought to. This person wrote and said, you know, we really ought to.
Oh, so somebody did write.
Somebody tweeted it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Somebody did tweet it. But they weren't really asking a question as much as they were making a recommendation. So
all
I'm
right,
bringing
so
a question.
So we're not going to abandon the red pill.
That's what
we're
I said.
We're too deeply
like,
into it, and I think we should push back on that.
Do
and
you watch
also,
the movie? I mean, it has nothing to do with any other thing. It has to do with
Matrix.
The movie. Yeah.
Well, right. Actually, I had it's House in Wonderland. Especially.
Fair.
But same.
And maybe that's where. But that's
so I mean, but the makers of the Matrix borrowed it from the analogy from Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
So anyway,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Point being is it's has nothing to do with
it's nothing to do with it
with
and
maleness or anything else. So that's one where I feel like that's widely not widely enough spread. We can own that one, take it over.
Yeah, and by gosh, there's got to be some things we're going to stand on and defend and say, you know, you idiotic haters aren't going to take this.
Right.
We'll defend that.
So there we go. All right, red pill we're fighting on.
We're fighting on red pill.
Good.
We're not fighting on the okay sign or whatever that is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
We'll
dump that one.
Now, if you're out there and you personally believe, F3 PAX listener, that you want to continue using the F3 hand sign and you think it's about intent and not safe, okay.
Yeah.
Contrarily, if you are out there and you say, look, I'm not going to say red pill anymore because I don't want to be associated with the red pill dudes.
Yeah.
That's your call to?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're an adult man.
All right.
You can handle it. But if I was a recommending fella.
Yeah, we would recommend you.
Then that's what I'm recommending.
All right. That takes us through the mixed egg. So do we have a topic for this week?
So, boy, do we.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. Boy, howdy doody do we. No, we do. We have a topic of the week. And some of the things we talked about last week in a number of weeks leading up to now, kind of had me going through. And I thought, you know, maybe we stay on this lexicon thing for a little bit. Because one of the again, you know, kind of talking about language and all this kind of stuff. But I think we stay on the lexicon because I think it's useful for us to continue to understand in terms of our culture and you know, who we are, what we talk about, and these words that have sort of these underpinnings that give us some direction in how to live and some of those kinds of things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about bricks this morning.
Oh, bricks. Okay, today. Yeah. A positive habit.
Yes.
A singular positive habit.
A singular positive habit.
Yeah.
So not like, you know, throw a brick at a guy, right?
No.
So,
or a brick is also, I've got a triathlon training meeting, I think if like you do a ride and a run together.
Oh,
you know, one in your training.
Did not know that.
Called a brick as well.
Okay, and when you miss a basketball shot and it banks out hard or whatever. That's a brick too, right? Yeah. Right. None of those things.
No, we're talking about singular positive habits.
So help me with so there's a couple of related terms in the lexicon.
Right.
Right. Number one is, where did this idea of brick come from?
Right.
Right. And then a singular positive habit, sure, maybe give us an example.
Sure.
And then I wanted to talk about brick laying, and then also the one that really kind of throws me a little is the bricks without straw.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So if we can kind of unpack some of those terms.
The brick family.
Yeah. Yes. It's like the Waltons.
It is like the Waltons. Yeah. So let's talk about the brick family of lexicon terms. So this actually works backwards to a word that didn't have brick in it, which is guardrail. You know, these are the guideposts of your life that you use to keep you straight. So if you picture the guardrail on the side of a road, one of the reasons why you can drive so fast is that, you know, if you hit the dangerous part, you won't go flying off a cavern or something, into a cavern, right? So, you know,
we've talked about that a little before.
Well, we have. Yeah. The image I use is that commercial, like a BMW commercial, Mercedes commercial, shows, you know, this German sports car just driving through the countryside, and the voice comes in and says, you know, closed driver, professional driver in a closed course, do not try at home. Right. You know, those roads have no guardrails on them.
Mm.
They're just open roads to the countryside. Now, it'd be great if we...
Right, you know, if that's how life
but
works.
But we ain't professional drivers.
And it ain't a closed course.
Right. So we're likely to hit other unprofessional drivers, people wandering in the street, or obstructions of all kinds.
Whatever
it
might be. Yeah.
In our lives, right? So we would never be able to accelerate if because of that, if we're too careful to not hit anything. So to be able to do that, we build these guardrails in our lives, and just like guardrails in the roads, they aren't along particularly straight stretches. They're in those turns or those areas where if you left the roadway...
is a particularly dangerous
particularly dangerous
so.
Point. That's the point of a guardrail. It's not necessarily a... you're going to dent your car, I mean, right? But it keeps you from getting killed, right? So that's the idea of the guardrails. And the guardrails are comprised with bricks, are built with bricks.
Okay. So they're not those big metal ones like we see a lot of times. These are...
yeah.
In, so the in image, our analogy.
Yeah, use the bricks to build them. I thought about the components of a steel and cable guardrail, but it just didn't work.
That is a really complicated...
that's right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, too much.
The other thing is, you want to think in terms of taking it, like if you want to build a guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
So an example of a guardrail might be your fitness level, right? You want to maintain a particular fitness level and accelerate it so that your king is in order.
Right.
So you say, okay, for me, one guardrail I have is that I run 30 miles a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more when we're getting ready for BRR or something like that.
Sure.
So that's a guardrail in the sense that it's built up of a series of bricks, right? I didn't one day
just go,
I'm going to run 30 miles this week and forevermore. I mean, and the bricks that I built, that I made the guardrail with, take a singular positive habit, would be, I got to get up early enough to make the time to do it.
So, even before I'm going to run a mile or two, back up even further.
Right, and say, well, what do I have to do to get there? So if you were to say, well, I would like that, to have a guardrail like that, you know, what do I do? I mean, I would say, what time do you get up in the morning? You know, if you say 7:30, I say, what time you got to be at work? 9. Well, when are you going to, what time you get home? 6.
Yeah.
Do you feel like running at night? No. I said, okay, well, you have to run in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So you have to get up earlier. Wow, it's really hard for me to get up earlier. You know, I don't know if I want to do that. I'm like, fine, let's give you a brick. What would a brick be? Get up 10 minutes earlier, then get up at 7:20. And what should I do at 7:20? Go out into the den and lie on the floor.
It doesn't really matter, right?
Just be awake.
Yeah.
Take 10 minutes back, right?
Mm.
That's a brick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a positive habit. You know, it's a habit being a regular tendency that's hard to give up. Habit standing alone could be bad or good.
Sure.
Right. Or neutral.
Sure.
You know, or neutral.
I guess I brush my teeth. That's a habit.
Yeah.
And theoretically, that's good.
It's a good.
Yeah, it's a good habit.
It's a good habit, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, not texting. Or texting while you drive is a bad habit.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Wearing your seatbelt is a good habit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? listening to the radio is neutral.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. And it doesn't.
Depending on what the content is, I suppose.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess still, it's turning the radio on or not turning the radio on.
Yeah, but generally. Yeah.
So if it's your habit, a regular tendency, hard to give up, that when you get in the car, you turn on the radio, that's a neutral habit.
Mm-hmm.
If you get in the car and you buckle your seatbelt, that's a good habit. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think about it when I buckle my seat, I just do.
That's a habit. Yeah.
Right, it's a habit. But I don't, you know, I don't text while I drive. That would be a bad habit.
That would be a bad habit.
A regular
very,
tendency.
Very, very bad habit.
Right, right. Yeah. So you see my point, right?
Yeah.
So develop a regular tendency that's hard to get up, that give up, that's positive.
Mm-hmm.
A brick, you start out with something that you can carry. That's why we use the word brick, you know.
Makes sense.
So it's small enough that you can carry. And most guys will admit that they could get up 10 minutes earlier. So, you know, how long do you have to do it? How long does it take for it to become a regular tendency? So let's say you do it for 2 weeks. And, you
particular
know,
to each guy.
Right. I own that 10 minutes. Now what do I do? I said, what are you doing during those 10 minutes? So I come out and I lie on the floor. All right, instead of lying on the floor, sit there and, you know, read a book or a magazine or something.
Just meditate. Doesn't really matter.
Whatever,
yeah.
Right. You know, well, how long do I got to do that? Do that for a week, 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Then what do I do? I mean, make it 15 minutes. Then what do I do? Go outside and walk a half a block. I mean, now this seems a little silly, but anybody who has repeatedly tried and failed to make a New Year's resolution to get in shape knows it's not. Because you start out with the whole kit and caboodle. You say, as of Monday, you know, January 1st, I'm going to get in great shape. I'm going to go
to
the
sporting goods store.
Right.
I buy all the crap.
But it doesn't work because you're trying to haul a wall full of bricks in your JanSport, and you're not going to be able to do it.
Haven't built up the ability to do that.
Right. Can't make it happen. So, you know, that's why you say start out with that. A smallish mm-hmm. brick that you can. 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Walk a half a mile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do that every day. Do that for a week. Do it for 2 weeks. Whatever it takes, it's regular. You know, build yourself up to 4 miles a day, and then what I do? Well, maybe then you do a push-up or two, right?
Right.
But that's how you that's
or
how
go
you
go a little faster.
Right.
Or...
But after that, and that what I just described is brick laying.
Yes, right? That was the other term. Yeah,
yeah
brick,
it was
laying.
Brick laying.
Yeah.
So now you're laying bricks, and when you brick lay, you brick lay into routines, and your routines are what keep you going as a pro, right? So you don't get up in the morning as like an amateur and say, gee whiz, should I work out today? No, I mean, really, your routines, the time you get up, you know, and for me, they're very regular, you mm-hmm. know, and everything I do lead me to the workout without thinking about it.
Right.
So I find myself, I'm at Prometheus today. How'd that happen? Right. That's the idea, yeah. Right?
Slipped, fell, got to Prometheus.
Right. Like, you don't have to think about the guardrail on the side of the road when you're driving really fast. You know, if you slide, boom, you hit the guardrail, push your car back on the street, whatever.
Keep going.
Same thing with the workout thing. I get up in the morning, you know, I don't feel like doing it, but the routine gets me there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea of bricklaying. That's the importance of it.
And so is part of the reason we fail on this, or that we don't do a good job of this or whatever, is it just because we are impatient?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try to change your life radically.
Which I think, I mean, now I'm asking the questions, but it seems like that's a goo concept, that somehow there's a magic switch.
Yeah, I think the idea of a New Year's resolution.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That come Monday, I'm going to start wagging
this
more
is,
barking less.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a false star to follow. It's not going to work.
Yeah. And I think that's I'm sure many a man has done it that's listening right
sure.
now. I've done it myself, you know, certainly, where I go, you know what? Today, I'm a new leaf.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to turn one over. I'm going to be the leaf, you know.
Yeah.
And you jump in and...
All changes as of today, but, you know, nothing does because your life, what you do on a daily basis, is made up of routines whether you realize or not. You know, they're just a mixed bag of bad, good, and neutral.
It's the, if you choose not to decide, you still have
made
a choice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Geddy
you like
Lee.
That? You like that?
Yeah. I got your Neil Peart fix.
Yeah,
that's
right, a little Peart fix.
Yeah.
I guess we just picked our song as well.
It could
but,
be.
Yeah. But that's the truth of that is self-evident.
Yeah.
When you make a resolution, a New Year's resolution, you define an end state that you're going to meet with full knowledge that you've never been able to do that in the past. And there's really no reason to think it's going to work without a change, a slow but steady change of the smallish habits that make up your day, the smallest regular tendencies that are hard to break.
But it takes so long, and it's so hard.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
But that's the...
It took a long time to ingrain negative habits.
Sure.
And but that's where you are as well.
Well, but those negative habits, many of those negative habits are... It took a long time to get there, maybe, but they were much easier because they were sort of a default setting or something. Like they,
some know, of them.
Right? It was just sort of things that happened to me, and I go, well, I guess that's how that is now, and then I, you know, just accept it and move on and keep going rather than being intentional to fight.
Yeah, you
got to
be intentional. You got to set out and say, I'm gonna break these habits, man. I'm gonna get this right.
So,
that's all the get right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Quadrant one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quadrant one. So, now that we've talked about it metaphorically, how does one make a brick in reality?
Well, I was just talking about it. You get up 10 minutes earlier.
No. An actual brick. Because the next
term, I try to lead us to. Yeah, yeah. That was very meta of you. Okay.
A little bit.
Right. So bricks without straw is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, so I want to get to bricks without straw because I don't, when I look at a brick, I crack a brick, you know, whatever. There's no straw in there. So help me out there.
Well, so the actual definition of bricks without straw on the lexicon is calling on a man to lead without providing the training necessary to form positive habits. So, saying, listen, you know, you need to be a leader in your, well, let's say you work for, at a smallish bank here in Charlotte, right? And you're they promote you from really not having anybody that you're responsible for. You're a young guy out of college, and suddenly you got three or four people answering to you, and you're supposed to lead them, right? But they don't teach you how to do it.
Mm.
You know, there's positive habits that comprise leadership too, routines that comprise leadership as well.
Mm-hmm.
Part of what F3 is about is to teach you those positives, transfer those positive habits, right?
Yes.
But if the organization in which you are a member calls upon you to lead but does not provide you a process to lend to you those positive habits that you need to do it effectively, then it would just be blind luck if you did.
Right.
Or you'd figure it out through failure.
Right, which is a much longer and arduous process.
And oftentimes you do fail a bunch in your first few leadership positions, and most times fatal. You're fired for it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
very unforgiving.
Very unforgiving.
In the corporate world.
That's right, I would think. Well, on the one hand, the corporate or organizations, you know, bullfrog organizations, organizations that are not effective, that just they're unarticulated, but actual purpose is existential continuity. Just living for another day, right? So they're big enough that they
get more flies.
They're big enough they can control the lily pad,
yeah.
You know, and snatch flies and stay alive. They don't really have a incentive to pass on the positive habits of leadership to develop leaders, and they don't actually develop leaders.
No, in fact, many of them within the organization choose not to on purpose because it would jeopardize their own ability to continue to stay in their
puts them at risk for no end. So the culture is one of them, is bullfroggy.
Mm-hmm.
And in those organizations, they tend to ignore obvious failings on behalf of their governance because they don't have a mechanism to call it out until the person does something outrageously bad. And then, you know, it's a huge deal, right?
Right.
And it's unforgivable. Right. So whereas someone who makes a series of mistakes, instead of ignoring them, if you've corrected them on the time, the person could learn from those failures to become a better leader. Instead, they make mistakes. Those mistakes are ignored. They learn nothing. And then they make some huge gaffe, and they get fired for it.
Yeah.
And whatever potential that person had is lost because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's bullfrog organizational culture, right?
101.
101.
Yeah.
101.
So what's the straw?
So the analogy that comes from, the allegory comes from, is Exodus. So this is the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible, and this is kind of the last straw, so to speak, of the Pharaoh's campaign to torture the Jews. So, you know, Jews got there 500 years earlier through Joseph, and Joseph saved the original Pharaoh from, you know, a famine by encouraging him to put away grain stores, had all those mm-hmm. dreams and all those things. Anyway, the Jews enjoyed a period in Egypt of power and honor, and times come and times go. And as is usually the case throughout human history, things start going wrong and everybody looks around for Jews to blame. You know, right. just the way. I think most Jewish folks would right. agree with that.
No,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of a thumbnail of Jewish history, but
right.
To this day, I mean, it's kind of what happens. And so they find themselves enslaved by the pharaohs and given draconian work requirements and mm-hmm. not given enough food and being castigated and blamed for everything going wrong and living in slums. Anyway, they had a daily brick quota under the pharaoh. And the bricks were made from Nile River clay. I don't know if that's true. clay of some
whatever
kind.
Whatever it was, yeah.
And straw. Mm-hmm. That's what held them together, right?
Straw being kind of like almost like a rebar, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a reinforcing material. Yeah. In fact, many of the older, and there's not many of them left, but the older buildings in Charlotte that have, you can see if you're in this old building, that the foundational elements, you can see that some of the straw sticking out. Still, we're doing it.
Mm.
So, anyway, Pharaoh was, I don't know which Pharaoh, that Pharaoh ended up getting sideways with old Moses.
Mm-hmm.
He, to make it even worse on the Jews, is like, oh, it's not hard enough yet. You still got to make that many bricks, but I'm taking away the straw. So it's bricks without straw. That was
because you're not giving him the thing that he needs.
That's right.
In order to be successful.
That was kind of the last straw, where, you know, Moses, burning bush, mm-hmm. you know, and the redemption of
Ramses.
The redemption of the Jewish people from slavery.
Yeah.
So that's where the image comes from. So if you are requiring someone to do something, and you don't have to limit it to just this idea of leadership, it could be anything, and you're not giving them the tools they need to accomplish it, then that's a bricks without straw, a BWS, man.
Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm going to ask you, well, two things. One, is it possible then, so in your, if you have some sort of position in a governance and you call on a man to lead and you don't give him the tools
right.
necessary, you have committed an act of BWS.
BWS, right.
Is it possible then also that this relates to the brick and the brick laying, in the sense that if I call upon myself to accomplish something and I don't even give myself the tools, am I pulling a BWS on myself?
I suppose.
No?
I don't know.
Too far?
Well, no, I mean, I just never thought of it that way. I mean, people, out of ignorance, you mean, not out of...
Right.
Okay. Yeah, no, sure.
Yeah, I'm saying like the examples we just gave of
I'm
going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going
to... I mean, I don't think anybody would go out to Charlotte Douglas and get in a private plane without even taking flying lessons and then try to get... I mean, that would be suicidal.
Yeah.
People aren't suicidal.
No, I meant in sort of the way that we were just talking about earlier, and of not giving yourself... like. Just attempting to, I'm just going to build some bricks today, and I'm going to carry
bricks.
Oh,
I see your point now. Like I said, I'm going to become something different.
Yeah, I'm going to be a new man.
Yeah, I'm going to become something different.
Yeah.
Right. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be able to play the piano by ear. You know?
Right, you go,
but
really?
You don't know how to play the piano, Biggin?
But,
right, so how are you going to do it? Okay, I get your point.
Yeah.
So approaching it from that standpoint, yeah, you have to figure out for yourself what straw do I need to be able to make these bricks.
Yeah.
What's it going to take to do that?
Because we start looking in our lives about, you know, what are those steps that we need to take to have those singular positive habits that you were talking about that will drive us toward, whether it's personal, or organizational, or community advantage.
Sure.
Right. Then we have to give ourselves a little grace, number one, but also we've got to be a lot more patient.
Well, that, and make it easy for yourself in any possible way. So, for instance, if you're managing to get out of bed and you're like, I'm really right at the edge of actually going outside and working out, one thing you do is put your workout stuff, lay your workout stuff out the mm-hmm. morning before, so it's staring right at you when you wake up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I got in the habit of doing, this is dumb, but I started doing it a long time ago. I would actually put the F3 shirt on, and that was my, I would sleep in the F3 shirt.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what, you know, then it makes it, you take one less.
I wake up.
Right, you've cleared away one more obstacle searching for your shirt, right? I mean, it's funny, if you are bound and determined to do something, nothing will stop you.
Yeah.
Right. No
crawl over glass.
And if you're bound and determined not to do something, any little darn thing will stop you.
Yeah. Well, that's very true.
Any little thing, you know, that's basic true of human nature, right? You'll find a way to take a toke on the crack pipe of manana, right? I said I'd make Tuesday my first workout.
That's right.
But as it turns out, you know, my shoelace is broken. Yeah. You know, and,
can't do it now.
That was my crack pipe noise. I have no idea what that noise sounds like. But. Okay, I guess it's manana. And then manana comes in some other, you know, idiotic.
Because it's forever.
Idiotic micro hurdle is stopping.
That you just made up.
Yeah, it's just made up.
Because you're unwilling to take this step. Well, I got to tell you, I'd love to say that you spent the last 43 minutes wisely.
No, but you have.
But you have.
Who knows?
Who knows?
And you might not have listened to it for 43 minutes straight.
That's true.
You might have listened to bits and pieces
right,
of
so
it.
Right, so the last 30 seconds, and then who knows when you had the other 42 point whatever minutes.
That's a fact, but we do know this.
What's that?
Dark Helmet.
Yes.
Has a face for radio.
Good thing this is a podcast. Thanks for listening to 43 Feet, a leadership podcast. If you have questions about leadership, F3, or anything else, write us at questions@43feetpodcast.com. Tweet us at 43 Feet Podcast, or send a carrier pigeon to 43 Feet, 1415 South Church Street, Suite B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28203. Until next time, we'll be here in the unknown, the uncomfortable, the difficult, the 43 Feet out front.